book of Hebrews, chapter 13, please. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our God will bless his word. We've heard many exhortations this afternoon and during this conference and ministry, and it's God's desire that we should fulfill these exhortations, and they only can be fulfilled in the power of God through Christ. Now, this is a very interesting doxology. It's one of the noblest doxologies of the New Testament. Great truth leads to great doxologies. I'm sure you know the doxology in Romans chapter 16. There are many doxologies in the New Testament. That is, ascriptions of praise to God, glory to God. And the one in Romans chapter 16, we're not going to spend time in it. We've 20 minutes here, 15. It's a doxology of divine revelation. The revelation of God in the gospel, and how we should praise God for the gospel, the revelation that he's given to us. And of course, this revelation has to do with the mystery as well. It is a preview, we might say, of the mystery of the church that we have in Paul's later epistles. In the epistle to Ephesians chapter 3, we have an epistle of divine doxology of divine power. And we know that verse very well. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto whom be glory in the church through Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. There is a power that worketh in us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the apostle in Hebrews has to say something about that when we come to it. In the epistle to Jude, we have another doxology, a doxology of divine preservation. The epistle of Jude has to do with the last days, the difficulties the saints have to face in days of apostasy and departure from God. Yet at the end of the little letter of Jude, we read these words: "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." Do we praise God for his preserving and keeping power? We thank God for preserving us. It's good to see believers that we've seen for well over 25 years still going on with God, still being preserved in the pathway, and we do trust we'll all be preserved unto his kingdom. And God is able to do it. It's the praise is unto him who is able to keep us from falling. And of course, Peter has a very practical word along that particular line. He speaks of eight things in chapter, his second epistle. And he said, if you do these things, you will never fall. So adding to our faith those eight things that Peter speaks about, seven things linked with the first one, faith. He says, if you do these things, you will never, not ever, fall. And there will be an abundant entrance for you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one thing I believe that would preserve us in a day of apostasy. It is a godly, consistent life. It's a practical obedience, as we've been hearing, to the Word of God. Doing the things that we've been taught. If you do these things, not if you know these things, if you do these things, you will never fall. Then, of course, John has a wonderful doxology in the first chapter of Revelation, when he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from amongst the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he says unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom and priests unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and forever. Might we trust that we praise him for his revelation, his word, praise him for the power that worketh in us, the Holy Spirit, praise him for being able to preserve us. Let us praise him for his infinite love. And then in this little doxology we have before us, we have a doxology of divine enablement. Now we cannot do these things in the power of the flesh. Israel said, all that thou sayest, we will do and will be obedient. Now you might essay to do that in the energy of the flesh, to keep those things and practice those things that we've been exhorted to do from God's word. But here we have in this doxology, under the new covenant, the power is bestowed with the will. God is able to make us, the prayer is, the doxology and prayer is, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. He is the power. To whom be glory forever and forever. Now we find in this verse one of God's titles, the God of peace. In the New Testament we have God brought before us as the God of glory, the God of hope, the God of endurance, the God of love, the God of all grace. And I think we see some of those titles even in this doxology. He's the God of glory. He's the one who brought our Lord Jesus Christ up from the dead. He was raised again, according to Romans 5, from the dead by the glory of the Father. He's the God of love. He brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. 5 times in John 10, we read that he laid down his life for the sheep. What love the shepherd has for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. His deity was denied by the Pharisees. He's the great shepherd, and there was the danger of denying his blood in Hebrews for the blood of bulls and of goats. But God has brought him again from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, in the power, in the value, in the glory of the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the God of grace. It was through the blood that we have this covenant ratified, the everlasting covenant ratified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of hope. He's brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead through the blood of the eternal, the everlasting covenant. What a contrast to the fading glory of the Jewish religion. An everlasting covenant ratified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of peace. The God of peace make you perfect. He wants to adjust us. He wants to restore us. He wants to make us perfect. And that's the object of God's dealing with us, working in us. I suppose the apostle is thinking of the exhortations even in this very epistle. He's talking about our love. He's talking about brethren in the family and how they should exercise love one to the other. He's talking about shepherds in the flock. He's talking about priests in the sanctuary. That's how the chapter is divided. The first part has to do with the members of the family showing love one to the other. The middle part and further down the chapter, he's dealing with the leaders, the shepherds in the assembly, guiding and leading and feeding the people of God. And then he's speaking about our priesthood, offering praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, doing good, communicating, we're to forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. There are certain things in which God is well pleased. And God is well pleased with these sacrifices. Sacrifices Godward. Sacrifices manward. Communicating. Such sacrifices God is well pleased. And then he's the God of endurance. Working in you that which is pleasing to his sight. In his sight. That's what we have in Romans chapter 15. Jewish and Gentile believers not being able to get along together. And that's what we find today in many of our lives. We're not healthy as believers because somehow we just cannot get along with one another. We do not have enough patience with one another. And that is why in Romans chapter 14, the apostle speaks about the God of endurance. Here's what he says in verse 5 of chapter 14. Now the God of endurance and consolation grant you to be like-minded, the one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. What is the purpose? In order that, with one mind and one mouth, you may glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. So how we should love one another, and here's how we can have that power, the power of God working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight. So God is patient with us, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Now, we're not going to take much more time, but just think of the phrases in this particular doxology. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. One of his titles is the God of peace. One of his great works is that he brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. that great shepherd. I said this one time in a meeting. I said, I suppose you brethren know all about the shepherd character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Psalm 23, 24, 25 said, no, brother, we don't. Well, for the young believers, Psalm 22 is the good shepherd in death. Psalm 23 is the great shepherd in resurrection. Past Psalm 22, present Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 is the chief shepherd in glory. And that's the one we're looking for, that chief shepherd. And when he shall return, he will reward those who have been faithful in their shepherd work. So what a wonderful example we have in this doxology of the great shepherd of the sheep, working patiently in us to make us perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. God is working, producing character in us through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now we could spend time on the great shepherd and the good shepherd and the chief shepherd of the sheep. There are many names for believers in Hebrews and throughout the New Testament and the Bible. But when we read of sheep, we think of frailty. We think of the need of guidance and protection and the need of a shepherd to protect us and to guide us through the blood. Thank God for the precious blood, the power it has. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The everlasting covenant make you perfect to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the God of heaven. To him be the glory throughout all ages, forever and ever. Or may we praise him and thank him for what we have heard and what he has done for us and what he is doing for us. May God bless us.